Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the first epistle of John, chapter 1, verses 5 through chapter 2, verse 2. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you, that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, our advocate and our atoning sacrifice, dear fellow redeemed. Ever find yourself driving down a narrow road with a ditch on one side and a ditch on the other side? It's kind of nerve-wracking, especially if it's dark at night. You swerve a little bit to the right, you're in a ditch. Swerve to the left, you end up in the same. You need to ride right down that narrow road. It's a lot like Christianity. For as we walk down this narrow road of faith in Jesus Christ, there are ditches on both sides of that road. The ditch of sin and despair, of pride and arrogance. Jesus talked about this narrow road to everlasting life. In Matthew 7, he said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. But narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." The way to heaven is narrow because there's only one way. One way to heaven, and that is through repentant faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And the only way to find that road is through the Bible, the Word of God. And the only way to be on that road is through faith, which the Word of God works in the hearts of individuals. That's why there are few who find it. Unfortunately, as you said, there are deep ditches on both sides of this road to heaven. John mentioned some of those ditches in our text this morning. We read in the first two verses, 5 and 6. "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." John says God is light. Here the reference is that God is holy. He's perfect. He's righteous. There's not a hint of darkness or sin in him at all. Therefore, he says, if you profess to believe in Jesus Christ and walk as Christ walks and follow the Father in his word, yet you're walking in darkness, then you're a liar. You're not living in the truth. But, he says, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we walk in fellowship with Jesus, that is, repentant faith and trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, then we're in fellowship with God and with one another as believers in Christ Jesus. We're assured of the forgiveness of all of our sins, where Paul says, or where John says, they're cleansed from all sins. Literally, the Greeks are each and every sin. Every sin you ever committed in thought, word, and deed, cleansed by Christ. In the past, Every sin you commit in the future, cleansed by Christ, walking in the light. But if we're walking in darkness, we fall into the ditch of deception. So our theme this morning is very important for us as we walk daily in Christ. Our theme is this: as we prepare our hearts for the coming of our Savior Jesus this Christmas season, we see that sincere confession of all sins is the only way to avoid spiritual disaster. Our first point is, without such confession, we lay ourselves open to fatal errors in opposite directions, either thinking lightly of sin or thinking we don't have any sin. There are many things that can lead us into the ditches on both sides of the road to heaven. Two of them are mentioned in our text. The first is making light of sin. Again, John writes, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." The Greek there for walk in darkness is a present tense, which means it's a continual action, not just a one-time thing, but you're continually walking in this darkness, continually allowing the same sins to take over your heart over and over, and continually walking in that sin. And so we need to daily examine our hearts, daily examine our lives. How seriously do we look upon sin in our lives? When you get frustrated, angry, upset, is it easy for you to just let a bunch of curse words and profanity fly out from your mouth and then excuse yourself by saying, "Well, I just need to vent"? When you go out and celebrate with friends, do you often go beyond and get drunk and just say, "Oh, I just needed to unwind from the pressures of my job or of my family"? You look upon gambling as just, you know, innocent entertainment and don't recognize that greedy, selfish monster within you that wants more and more and more. Do you, as young people, dress and act modestly in the face of this sex-crazed society? Do all of us realize that those racy books, those racy movies, and pornography is damaging to the heart and soul? And how about gossip and lies? If you look upon not hearing God's word consistently as, "Nah, it's not that important. Missing and skipping church here and there, nah, it's no big deal. Not reading his word of God, it's not going to hurt me." And how about the sins of envy, bitterness, selfishness, cheating, fighting, discontentment, lustful thoughts? Do you look upon those sins but lightly? Excuse yourself by saying, "Well, no one's perfect." Well, to claim to have fellowship with God, to say that we're walking with Christ, and then to live in the darkness is just the opposite. If we walk in the darkness, we are walking around in a sinful lifestyle, going around in a way that's clearly opposed to God's word. Then we have fallen into the ditch of deception and maybe even eternal death. The other wrong way of thinking, John says, is that we've done our best. We've kept God's law. We're good people. I mean, we come to church. We say our prayers. We give our time, our efforts, our offerings. We're pretty moral. We're better than most people. John says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say we've not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Remember the parable of the Pharisee and the publican? The publican stood in the back, didn't even look up to heaven, and he beat on his chest and said, "God, forgive me. Be merciful to me, a sinner." The Pharisee stood in front of the church and said, "God, I thank you. I'm so good. I thank you that I do this for you and this for you and this for you. I tithe. I fast twice a week. I'm not like that publican there and anybody else. And he thought he was much better than everybody else. Didn't have the sins that others had. Both of those ditches are eternally dangerous to you and to me. To know that we are sinful and yet look upon our sins but lightly because everybody else is sinful and they're far worse than we, or to think that we are really pretty good in comparison to others and think that we've been able to keep a lot of those commandments of God and we have no damning sins, both of them lead to an eternal dead end. Remember what our theme said this morning? Sincere confession of all sins is the only way to avoid spiritual disaster. Why? How? Because the second point says, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins through our Savior Jesus, our advocate and our atoning sacrifice. We receive forgiveness of sins through God's faithfulness, as well as through God's justice. God is faithful. He never goes back on his word. Way back in the beginning of time, when Adam and Eve fell into sin and deserved death and damnation, he promised them he would send them the seed of the woman who would conquer and destroy death and Satan and close the gates of hell and give them forgiveness of sins. And it took 4,000 years for that promise to come to pass, but God, over and over and over again, promised through his prophets and through prophecies that he's forgiven his people through the coming Messiah, the Savior. In fact, one of his names, Jehovah, means that. He means what he says. Jehovah means, I am who I am. And that means he's the unchangeable God, the promised God, the faithful one. God's faithful to his word, faithful to his promises. Jesus, too. He says, son, don't be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. Peter on Pentecost said, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved than the name of Jesus. We're also assured of our forgiveness, not just because God is faithful, but because God is just. And that may sound strange, because usually we talk about God's justice when we're talking about punishment. God's justice says that if you are really, really, really good, but yet you sin in one thought, you deserve damnation. God's justice says, live perfectly, live forever. Live imperfectly, die forever. God's justice says, the soul of sin shall die. And yet, God's justice also assures us of forgiveness because his justice needed to be met. God says, someone needs to keep my law perfectly. And so he chose a son. He sent his son into this world to become one of us, had the laws placed upon him, and Jesus kept every single commandment in thought, in word, and in deed perfectly. And so, live perfectly, live forever. He lived perfectly. And therefore, righteousness and everlasting life isn't for him. He did it all for you and for me. By his perfect life, his obedience to God's law, that righteousness, that perfection has been bestowed upon all who believe in Jesus. He gives us a free gift to all believers. But as many of you know, there's more to our salvation than just that. God's justice also demanded that you, the sinner, and me, the sinner, must be punished. It's like a parent saying, you do that, you're going to bed. And they do that and go, oh, that's okay. That's not God. God says, you do that, you deserve death. And so God's justice said, all sinners have to die. All sinners have to go to hell. Or one will take the place and suffer and die for all the rest. And again, Jesus is the one who chose him. The perfect one. The one who then took all of our sins, all of your sins, the sins of the whole world, laid upon his son and he took the punishment of us all. Jesus had to appease God's justice, punished for us. Adam and Eve deserved that judgment. What did God say to them? He said, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die." And that verdict can't be changed. That judgment of God is unchangeable. So Jesus came to meet God's justice by suffering for us. And that's why John writes in our text in chapter 2, verse 2, "And he," meaning Jesus himself, "is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." That word propitiation is a tremendous word. It's kind of an old King James word. It means the atoning sacrifice. It's a sacrifice that pays. It's the sacrifice that paid for your guilt and my guilt, because we could not do it. And so Jesus' payment on the cross washes away all our sins. His damnation when he was separated from his Father was our damnation. And so in Christ Jesus, we will never, never endure eternal damnation. The author of the Hebrews takes up the same thought in these words, "But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with a greater, more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place, once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified." That means those who are being set apart. The last point this morning is that John then shows his desire for those to whom he's writing. And that includes you and me too, even though he didn't know us. This epistle is written for all Christians. And his desire is this, in chapter 2, verse 1, "My little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." As believers in Christ, we want to walk in the light daily. We want to walk in Christ's word. We want to follow his example. And yet, we do sin. Our sinful heart, our sinful flesh, the world tempts us. We fall into sin. And John says, if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. That means an attorney, a lawyer, one who stands up for you. And so when we sin and turn to Jesus in repentance, Jesus stands before his Father, the judge, and says, "Yep, Mark Bernthal's a sinner. He deserves death and damnation. But, Father, I paid for his guilt. But, Father, I lived the perfect life for him." And the Father declares me righteous in Christ, forgiven through Jesus. He's the atoning sacrifice, but he's also the advocate, our attorney who stands for us and defends us before our Father because his blood was shed. The Father looks at his sacrifice and forgives us. He is our righteousness. So as we prepare our hearts this Advent season, the coming of our Savior, the celebration of his birth in 3 weeks, or for his coming at the end of time, which could happen at any time, this gospel message will move us to continually, habitually, in a good habit way, walk in the light. Or as Paul writes to the Colossians, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so now, walk in him." Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.